In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for the confession and forgiveness found on page 95 in the front of the hymnal, and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. The confession and forgiveness found on page 95. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your... Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our day is hymn number 858, verses 1 and 4 only at this time. Hymn 858, praise to the Lord the Almighty, hymn 1 and verse 1 and 4. Together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you show unending loving kindness to your servants. Because we cannot rely on your own abilities,
grant us
your merciful judgment, and teach us to embody the generosity of your Son. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for today is from Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 11. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that God had said he would bring upon them, and God did not do it. But this was very displeasing, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish. At the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And Jonah said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are 20,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm chapter 145, verses 1 through 8. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King,
and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you,
and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
There is no end to your greatness.
One generation shall laud your works to another,
and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glory of your majesty,
and on your wondrous works, I will meditate.
The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed,
and I will declare your greatness.
They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness,
and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading for today is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in the Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them this is their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For God has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel for today, after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Each Sunday we stand for the reading of the Gospel in honor of Christ in our midst, but due to the length of this Gospel, I invite you to be seated so you're not distracted by the length of the Gospel. You might listen and follow along. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus speaks to his disciples and followers, saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' Those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I gave to you. I am not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me. Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.' The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today is Jonah, the third and fourth chapters. Let us pray in preparation for this sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. I love the book of Jonah. It's one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. It's easy to read. Go home. After you read the funny papers, read the book of Jonah. We read the whole book of Jonah in Sunday school today. Yeah, the whole book of Jonah in Sunday school. That's how easy it is. I like the book of Jonah is for the people of God, you and me, but especially for men and women of God who are leaders in the church, which Jonah was as a prophet. And yet, in today's gospel, or in Old Testament reading, we have Jonah acting like a 2-year-old or a 16-year-old. Any of you who have had a family member who is either 2 or 16 know what I mean. You don't have to be a parent. I was never a parent. I never had nieces and nephews. But boy, I know 2-year-olds. I've babysat them. And I know 16-year-olds because I've taught them in confirmation. And of course, you have never acted like that yourself, though. You know 16-year-olds, but you never acted that way yourself, like Jonah's acting today. The book of the prophet Jonah begins with Jonah fleeing from God. God calls him to prophesy, and he flees from God's mission and God's prophecy to the Ninevites. So then we get a big fish, okay? Wide mouth bass is what I call it, not a whale. Whaley, krill, and shrimp, okay? Chuck Strong, I'm talking to you now, shrimp. Whaley, small things. Jonah was no small shrimp. He was a mouthful. And then I learned on National Geographic, I don't have anyone to tell this to in my home, the plants don't listen to me, gray whales that are coming from Mexico up to Alaska. Oh, no, they go to Mexico for the winter. Okay. This spring, when they went up to Alaska for cooler waters, they're now eating whole schools of salmon. Chinook salmon that they are, you know, making in the little nurseries, and they're trying to propagate that species again so it doesn't go extinct. These whales, instead of krill and shrimp, they're eating salmon. They're my heroes. I love salmon. I had that at a birthday party on Friday night. It was wonderful. Okay, so it wasn't necessarily a whale, but it was a big, big. But before the big fish, we get Jonah converting all the sailors on his ship to the Lord. Jonah converts a whole ship of sailors. My grandfather was a sailor. I know something about sailors, okay? Listen to this part of the book of Jonah that we didn't read. Then the sailors, the mariners, cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, Jonah. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done what as it pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. They were in a huge... They cast lots, and they rolled the dice as to whose fault it was. It landed on Jonah, who was asleep down in the hull. I mean, really? In a huge storm, they thought they were going to die? And they tried to save Jonah. They don't want to throw him into the sea, because especially for Hebrew people, which I found out he was, and who his God is, for Hebrew people, the sea is the scariest thing in the world, and the worst way to die is to drown. That's it. They were nomadic desert people. They hated the sea. They hated the ocean. And they were scared to death of it. So they tried to save Jonah. And they said, "Well, let's pray to your God, okay?" And finally Jonah said, "Just get rid of all it." And so they throw him overboard. And then comes this. The sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. In other words, they converted from all of their pagan gods, and there were many that they were praying to during the storm, they converted to Yahweh, to the Lord of creation, because they saw the miracle of the storm on chaos, the storm of life being ceased and calmed. I love the book of Jonah, because then God saves Jonah. Go home and read the book. It's wonderful. The prayer that Jonah says from the belly of the fish. God saves Jonah from chaos. God saves Jonah from the storm and from dying, drowning, because Hebrew people don't swim. The seaweed was getting around his ankles and pulling him down deeper. God saves him by getting a fish to swallow him up. And for 3 days and three nights, it says, he was in the belly of the fish. And all of chapter 2, four chapters in the whole book of Jonah, all of chapter 2 is the prayer that he prays to God about, "Well, thank you for saving me from the land of the dead, Sheol, from the pit, but not fish." Somebody in Sunday school said, "I bet that smelled." Yeah. For 3 days and three nights, he's in the belly of fish, and he can think about, okay, God saved me from death, but now what? And then God spoke to the fish. I love this. God spoke to the fish, and the fish threw Jonah up onto the shore. Because I think the fish was tired of this guy, okay? Pretty sour in his stomach, okay? And he throws him up onto the shore. God once again tells Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh, that great city, in a Persian city, the enemies of the Hebrews, okay? They had taken all of the Israelites in captivity. Go and prophesy to them. The prophecy is the shortest prophecy in the whole Bible. 8 words long. The sermon that Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh was 8 words long. Listen to it again. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. The city was 3 days across. So they say a day's walk is about 7 miles or so. So 21, 25 miles across. One day in, he says the prophecy. The next day in, he says the prophecy. And the last day, he says the prophecy. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, folks? Yeah, God will do it. And then comes the most beautiful part of the whole thing. The people of Nineveh believed God. The people of Nineveh believed God and trusted God. They proclaimed a fast and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, that Assyrian king, okay, the pagan, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Then he proclaimed and made a proclamation. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed or shall they drink water. We call it a hunger strike, right? In the 20th century. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth and they shall cry mightily to God. And all shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. God may turn his fierce anger so we do not perish. The whole city, including the animals, we're talking large animals, by the way, not cats and dogs, but cattle and all those people, put on sackcloth. Why do you put on sackcloth and ashes? You do that at Lent to be remorseful of the wrongs you have done. Because sackcloth, burlap is basically what it is scratchy. It's not silk. It's not cotton, 100% cotton, Egyptian cotton. Okay? It's scratchy. You're supposed to remember the evil you've done. And then ashes, okay, it's like death. So you ask God for forgiveness. Tonight at sundown begins Yom Kippur for our Hebrew brothers and sisters. The most important day of the year is tonight at sundown, Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement, which is a fancy $15 word in the church, meaning made at one with. Day is when God forgives all of the Hebrew people's sin. And they bring the sins to God's altar, and God forgives them. Kind of like our Ash Wednesday, where we remember our mortality, we put on ashes and sackcloth. That's what the king of Nineveh was doing. That's what all the people of Nineveh were doing. They were asking for forgiveness. They were turning to God and saying, okay, God, we believe you. We trust you. Forgive us of all the evil we've done as an Assyrian, Persian city, as we took captive the Israelites in the land. And we find out later on that the whole city, 120 people convert, including the camels and the cattle. And they trust God. Listen again, I've got it here. It's marvelous. And you did a good job reading. Thank you, Macy. Okay? The people of Nineveh repented. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity God said he would bring upon them. And God did not do it. That's important. When you're in relationship with God, you can change God's mind. Really? Jesus knew that. Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was arrested and betrayed, he went and he prayed by himself. He said, Lord, take this cup from me. Language. I don't want to have to die this way. This is going to be horrible. But not my will, thy will be done. Okay, so Jesus understood that he could change God's mind too. But you have to be with God, okay? God wanted the people to repent. God wanted to save the city of Nineveh, that great city, 120,000 people. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and this is the terrible 16 and terrible 2 thing. I love it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is it not what I said when I was still in my own country, before I got on that ship and got almost drowned in that this is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." What? Talk about throwing a tantrum and holding your breath till you turn blue and kicking your feet on the middle of the aisle 5 in the grocery store. "O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry? Why are you so upset? Why are you throwing a tantrum?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. He's mad. And I think there's two reasons he's mad. Reverend Casperson, this morning at Sunday school, he named the first reason, and I totally agree with him. The reason that Jonah's mad is because the Assyrians, the Ninevites, are his enemies, and he hated them. He didn't want to go proclaim God's word to them because they might repent. They might turn from their evil ways and change God's mind, which is exactly what they did. He wanted God to annihilate them. "Get rid of my enemies, Lord. Get rid of those people I hate. How they don't deserve your love. They don't deserve your forgiveness." And then I think the other reason that I've always believed for the past 40 years is that I was made a liar. He went in to say, "You're going to be overthrown and annihilated in 40 days. Ha, ha, ha." And they believed God and trusted God, and they turned from their ways. Pun intended. Jonah was running from God. All of his prophecy. We only have 4 chapters about his prophecy, right? Minor prophet. He had an 8-word prophecy. "In 40 days, you'll be overthrown." Jonah was running from God. They were running to God. They were running to a relationship with God. And because of that relationship with God, they were able to change God's mind of annihilating them. But I think it's also because Jonah is a terrible 2-year-old and a terrible 16-year-old, and he doesn't want to be made a liar. I was corrected last Sunday that I've been praying for the wrong people. Yeah. Okay. Marrakesh is not in Monaco. That's where the casinos are. Marrakesh is in Morocco, I've been told. For 2 weeks, we were praying for Marrakesh in Monaco. Totally a different country. I said, "Well, thank you for making me right." I'm wrong. You're right. Okay. Today, we're going to pray for, and if I get it right, watch me get it wrong. Don't raise your hand and say, "Hey, preacher, you're wrong." We're praying for Marrakesh, who had the earthquake in Morocco. Okay. The person said to me, they know I like old movies, said, "Remember The Road to Morocco with Bing Crosby and Bob Hope? Think of that." Okay, The Road to Morocco. Okay. Jonah didn't want to be made into a liar. He didn't want his enemies to be forgiven. It never seemed to cross Jonah's mind that he was directly disobeying God and God's command. God had pursued Jonah with persistent love. At least the Ninevites and the sailors had ignorance of God as an excuse. They didn't have a relationship with God. Unlike Jonah, they had a relationship. They repented and turned to God as soon as the message that he brought them from God was clear. While Jonah headed in the opposite direction from God's command and love. Not turning to God, but turning away from God. It never seemed to cross Jonah's mind that if God was unforgiving towards Jonah's enemies, as Jonah wanted God to be towards the Assyrians and Ninevites, God would have let him drown in the sea. Think about that one. It never seemed to cross Jonah's mind that the pagans on the ship, in their attempts to save Jonah from harm at all costs, were much more like God than Jonah was. And then finally, it never seemed to cross Jonah's mind that even the big fish was more obedient to God than Jonah was. At least the fish, when commanded by God to throw Jonah up under the shore, did as the fish was told. The fish must have had awful indigestion. After 3 days, I must have felt much better when he could finally throw up the sour, disobedient prophet. Who are your enemies that you don't want God to forgive? Who are your enemies? And this nation is full of them. All you have to do is listen to the news for 10 minutes or read the paper. Who are your enemies, or who do people say your enemies are? Maybe I should say that, okay? That we shouldn't be praying for, that we shouldn't ask for God's forgiveness and love towards. Jonah wanted nothing to do with the Ninevites, wanted nothing to do with the Assyrians, because they were the Hebrews' enemies. How dare God love them and forgive them? God won't love those people. Think of 2023. Who were the those people? Fill in the blank. God won't love those people. God won't forgive those people for what they've done. The Assyrians were evil people. They were evil people. And yet they changed their minds and they turned towards God. Unlike Jonah, from God, man of God that Jonah was. My question for you to take home this afternoon, after you read the whole book — the book is marvelous. It's one of the best written stories in the whole world, ever since stories have been written down and told. The question I want you to ask yourself: who are you in the story of Jonah? Are you the reluctant prophet? You're all in church right now, so you are men and women of God. Okay? I believe that totally. Men and women, children of God. Are you the reluctant prophet? Not doing God's will, not forgiving God's creation. Even the cattle and the donkeys and the camels were repenting and forgiven. Are you trying to save Jonah from drowning in the chaos of the sea? And then who? Hear God speak through Jonah the prophet and believe and trust in God the Creator. Or are you the fish? Okay, I'd like to be a salmon. I'm going to be a Chinook salmon, not eaten by a whale though. Are you the fish trying to save Jonah from drowning, obeying God's will, giving Jonah refuge from the chaos of the sea? The fish saved Jonah. And we forget that. Or are you the people of Nineveh, turning to God, believing and trusting? I love the book of Jonah. The book for you and me, people of God. But Jonah is acting like a 2-year-old or a 16-year-old. And any of you that have had a family member — because I know none of you have acted that way — any of you who have had a family member that's acted that way, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Before you sing this hymn — it's a very familiar hymn, I won't even say what it is, turn to it. Hymn number, whatever it is, 7-something. I got it right here. Think of the passage. You can sing this hymn with your eyes closed and without the hymnal, but use the hymnal. Think of the passage: Jonah, the fish, the sailors, the people of the great city in Assyria. Okay? As we sing this hymn, the hymn of the day. Thank you. the people of Nineveh or the prophet himself. I invite you to rise for the Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal, and together we can read these same words. The Apostles' Creed, found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, in our prayers at the church, we remember in the church our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kemple. We pray this whole month of September as we begin our Christian education programs. We pray for students, staff, teachers, and all families. Nationally and around the world, we continue to pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan. People have lost property and lives due to the wildfires, hurricanes on the eastern seaboard, flooding in Libya, 11,500 dead and 10,000 are missing still from that flood. And then the earthquake in Morocco, over 3,500 people have been found dead and they're expecting more. We pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. And then we pray for people in the fields and on the roads during this harvest season. We pray for their safety. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God, gracious and merciful, and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, teach your church to invite and welcome all. Lead us to be grateful for the blessing of community. Challenge your church to choose equality and compassion over judgment. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You who sends the wind, sun, and rain, you know every worm and bush by name. Help us to remember that even the humblest parts of creation are precious to you. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the fields. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, wildfires, hurricanes, earthquakes, and flooding. Let all creation around the world know that you are their God and that you are with them. Christe eleison.
Christ, have mercy.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas. Promote peace across the world in our towns and in our neighborhoods. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show love and affection, hope and hospitality to one another. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and minds. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who are reaching the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Christe eleison.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord God, we pray for this country. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all the ministries we are faithfully a part of. We pray for all students, teachers, staff, and families who are part of our Christian education programs. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those whom we lift before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our joy and new life and hope in you. Christe eleison. Christ have mercy. Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Judy Simons, Elsie Pankratz, Trent Zevison, Sage Briggs, Ida Degg, Ian Roth. Happy anniversary this week to Joseph and Rebecca Gallegos and Gary and Kim Ferguson. Chuck Strom says he has green tomatoes. If you would like some, he will hook up with him after church and he'll fix you up. A meal train has been requested for the Christian family. It is being requested that we begin the meal train for Joseph and Elizabeth Christian family. Meals will be provided for the family on Tuesdays and Thursdays. People can sign up for any Tuesday or Thursday through the month of October. A sign-up sheet has been created. It's on the kitchen counter. Thank you for your response to this ministry. We have one Tuesday in October signed up for. Everything else is open. Are there any other announcements? There is, I know.
Good morning. Tomorrow is Daily Bread from 5:30 to 6:30. We are having Navajo tacos, so please join us. Please bring a friend and a neighbor and enjoy the fellowship. And if you would like to volunteer, please let me know sometime after the service. Thank you.
I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places Give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the choirs of angels and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Saying, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all their drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing prepared for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn.
Thank you.
blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Continue forever in the risen life of Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hymn number 543, Go, my children, with my blessing. Type wrong. 543.
Oh, Jesus.